wonder, were you in awe of the snow this morning? I loved getting up and looking out and seeing the beautiful snow. Most nativity scenes show the wise men there at the stable with Mary and Joseph and Jesus. But we know from the Bible stories that the Magi came later to worship Jesus. We're thinking Jesus was around age 2 at the time that the Magi came to see him. And by then, we know Joseph had no doubt found better lodging for his family, which is why in the Matthew passage, it says the wise men entered the house to find Jesus. But whatever the time and place, these Gentile visitors from the east knelt down and paid homage to Jesus. They adored him. And I hope that this morning we can also focus on worship and praise and adoration to Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, just as the Magi worshiped you in a manger, this morning we worship you with our minds, our bodies, and our souls. For what else can we give that is of worth to you? And as we look to this new year, we ask that you would help us remember to follow the star instead of the crowd. May this star always point in your direction, helping us find the treasure of Jesus, the Christ child, with each step in our new year. Grant us wisdom to discern what is right and true for your sake. And in all things, may we know your love is constant as you give us new adventures in this journey following you in the new year. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Let's just take a moment. We're a smaller group today. Thank you for those that have moved forward. If those in the back want to come closer and worship with us, let's take a few moments to greet one another. If you have an announcement, please come forward. If you have announcements, please come forward.
The new Dinners for Eight starts in this month for January, February, and March. And those of you that signed up, you have slips in your mailbox with who your group is. I do need either two individuals or one more couple to complete a group. So if you didn't sign up and are regretting it and wishing you had, let me know and I'll add you to that last group.
Just take note in your bulletin that next Sunday we will celebrate and commission all new and renewing members and leaders that have been affirmed and are willing to serve in the new year. So that will be next Sunday. Please join me for the call to worship, which is in your bulletin. I will read the leader part if you will read the people part. Arise, shine, your light has come. Even if darkness should cover the earth, deep darkness cover the peoples.
Nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn.
Nothing can hide God's glorious light. Let us look to God and be radiant. Let us reflect the brightness of this dawning. Would you please take the candlelight lighting litany? And we're going to read that together, as I have already lit all of our candles. This will be our last Sunday to enjoy our Advent candles and decorations. So let's read together the litany. You, whose almighty power shines forth in a dark stable, whose grandeur and glory we see in helpless infancy, have journeyed to us through our prayers and your promises to your people in exile. With shepherds we worship at the altar of your humility, where you share our need and our fragility. What tribute can we bring but what you brought to us? Hearts and voices worshiping with the angels, hearth and hands ready and open, tender toward all seeking shelter, in our way stations of refuge, where we await your return to make heaven and earth one. Let's sing together.
Please turn to number 5 and sing The Journey. Number 5. Stand if you are able. You want to just give us the pitches?
Thank you.
number 215 in the blue book. 215. Reading from Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, During the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I'd like to invite the children to come forward this morning for the children's story.
Talking a lot about refugees this past Christmas season, haven't we? Because Jesus was a refugee just after he was born, and there are many, many refugees in the world today. In fact, more than any other time since way before I was born in 1940, just many, 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 more than we can count. So does anybody remember what a refugee is? Helps the homeless? Well, I think they are kind of homeless. But refugees are people that have had to leave their home and go sometimes far, far away from where their home is, because it's not safe for them to go back anymore. Just like Jana was reading about Jesus, and Mary and Joseph had to take Jesus and their family and go to another country because it wasn't safe for them to go home. So they were refugees. But we're not refugees, are we? Our homes are safe. But there are many, many refugees, just like our families. They're just like us, but they just don't have a home, a permanent home, yet. So I brought something with me today in my pocket, but it doesn't make very much noise. But they make a lot of noise in here. So I brought something today that many refugees carry around in their pockets, and maybe Joseph carried one in his pocket, I don't know. Can you guess what it is? I'll give you a hint. It sounds like bells. Keys. You're the man. It's keys. The very last thing that many refugees do before they leave their homes, if they have time, is they close their front door, and they lock it, and they put the key in their pocket, and then they leave. And many refugees today are walking, or they're in a new place, and they keep that key in their pocket because it gives them hope that someday they'll be able to go home. So today I'm going to give each one of you a key and ask you to go back down and sit with your parents. And we're going to watch a short video. And I want you to, as you watch the video, look for the children and see what they're doing. Because they're laughing and they're playing and they're working very hard. They're doing all kinds of the same things that you and I would do every day. But they're just in a different place when they do it. And for the grown-ups out there, this short 4-minute video does have some English subtitles. And they talk about IDPs, which we've talked about before, but it's an acronym that's internally displaced persons, basically refugees that are still in their home country. They're in country, but away from their homes. So I'm going to give you some keys. And you can take these home and put them in your own pocket, or on your bulletin board, or on your refrigerator. Whenever you see it, you can maybe think to pray for them. So you can pick whatever color you want. They all have a key. Okay. And as you take your key, you can go back and sit with your parents. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl, for your story. There are many organizations helping with the refugee crisis. Today, we will be taking an offering for MCC, Syrian Relief Work, and that will be an offering after the message this morning. So we've been reminding you during Advent season that Epiphany Sunday would be our way of giving to that cause. So would our ushers please come forward this morning for offering, our regular offering. Let's pray together. Lord, like the wise men of old, we give our gifts with hearts of gratitude for a love that knows no bounds, for all that we have been given, especially the gift of Jesus Christ. We say thanks be to God. Amen. So much, Ian and Tristan. Ian and Kristen. I will be reading from Matthew 2, 13 through 18, if you'd like to follow along. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Matthew.
If you've looked in at my office and seen the bulletin board next to my desk, you've probably noticed that it looks something like a bird's nest with all these different papers tacked into that bulletin board. But those are things that are important to me that I want to remember. And among them is a short prayer in Latin, and the Latin in which it is sung. Throughout the centuries, often in Gregorian plain chant, the words of an ancient Christian prayer, "Ecce ancire Domini fiat mihi secundum tuum." And this prayer was first uttered actually in Aramaic in first century Nazareth by a Galilean Jewish girl by the name of Mary when she was talking to an angel. And in English it translates to, "Behold the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word." And with that prayer, with those words, Mary welcomed a stranger into her life, a stranger into the world, even a stranger into her womb. And that brings us to the first point in the sermon outline, if you're following that along in the bulletin insert. How Mary and Joseph welcomed the stranger. And the stranger, of course, was Jesus. And here's why I call Jesus the stranger. In the law of Moses, God commanded the Israelites to never oppress or mistreat the foreigner or the sojourner among them, but to welcome them, to host them graciously, generously, because "For such were you in Egypt," says the law. And I wonder if God takes the treatment of the stranger and the sojourner so personally because, for even God himself, God is a stranger in this fallen and rebellious world. God's first appearance on earth in the scriptures that we read about is when God comes to the Garden of Eden to walk in the cool of the day with his new friends, Adam and Eve, only to find them hiding among the trees in shame. And so it is still that, as John says in his gospel, the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And even those who would welcome Jesus and do good don't always recognize the stranger when he appears. "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? Or when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you?" People ask in the last judgment in that parable of the sheep and goats that Jesus told. And Jesus answers them to say, "Truly I tell you, that just as you did this for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me." And like all parents, Mary would learn the hard way again and again that this son born to her was not just an extension of herself into the world, not just a mini-me, as common parlance today puts it. Her process of bewilderment and discovery around Jesus as he grew up began with complete strangers showing up to greet the newborn son, the shepherds. And then later, as we celebrate today, even more surprising shepherds, these magi, these pagan astrologers from the east bearing gifts. Luke tells us that Mary marveled and pondered these things in her heart, which is one way of saying she wondered, what have I gotten into? Or just, who is this child? If Mary had known what raising the Messiah would have been like, I wonder, would she so readily have said, "Behold the Lord's servant, may it be to me according to your word"? We could ask the same and then some for Joseph, Mary's husband, and the man who's taking Mary and Jesus, the child, to Egypt. This babe in her arms is not technically his son. And so many men, upon learning, say that their wife or their fiancé is pregnant with a son not their own, would at the very least turn and walk away. The law of Moses permitted worse. Fortunately, Joseph had this dream that told him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And were not Joseph, as Matthew puts it, a righteous man, by which is meant also a God-fearing, spiritually sensitive, and obedient man, he might have chalked that dream up to indigestion or wishful thinking. So again, to complete that first question in the outline, Mary welcomed the stranger, Jesus, when she said, "May it be to me according to your word." And so did Joseph also welcome the stranger by taking care and protecting Mary and Jesus, treating Jesus as his own son as well as hers. And Joseph is a hero all too often overlooked in our telling of the Christmas story. And now to complete the second question in the outline, in the message. For welcoming and hosting Jesus the stranger, Mary and Joseph became also strangers and sojourners in the earth. At the very least, Mary's pregnancy before marriage would have estranged her from people in her community. And then Herod's efforts and desire to kill their son sent them into exile. Refugees, along with thousands of other people in that part of the world where Roman and Persian imperial armies regularly clashed, and common people got caught in the crossfire of political imperial rivalries. And so, as the African proverb puts it, when the elephants fight, the grass gets trampled. When Joseph took Mary and Jesus into Egypt, they were joining a community, a large community of Jewish exiles, refugees, and immigrants, bigger than the Jewish population of Jerusalem. The same was true of the Jewish community in what's now Baghdad in the Persian Empire. That's probably how the wise men from the east knew to come looking for the King of the Jews, newborn, because of the way they must have rubbed shoulders with rabbis and scholars of the big Jewish community there. And that brings me to the third question with three parts. Will we, A, welcome the stranger Jesus? Like a wayfarer seeking shelter for the night, John's revelation records Jesus as saying to every soul in the world, everyone here, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door to me, I will enter and dine with you and you with me." That is simply the ancient language of seeking hospitality. And the paradox and mystery of the Christmas season is that the very one who created this world to be a home for us, who created this planet in hospitality to us, has now come into it as Jesus, seeking a home with us, hospitality from us. As we read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." One way of looking at the Christian life is to say that it is simply being a host, being a friend to Jesus so that he might live with us, that indeed he might live within us, even that he might live through us. And if we have not yet begun this life of friendship, of hosting and hospitality with Jesus, I don't know what else we could do better than to say with Mary, "Behold the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your word." And if we have begun a life of faith and a friendship with Jesus, it continues every step of the way the same way it began, by welcoming him, receiving him, serving him willingly with the same joy of hospitality as saying, "Behold the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word." And it never stops there. It keeps going. The stranger and the sojourner who showed up as a babe needing shelter on Christmas keeps showing up today, especially as Mother Teresa of Calcutta put it, in his most distressing disguise of the poor. And that brings me to the second part, part B of the third question in the outline. I asked a moment ago, part A, will we welcome the stranger? God, the stranger, the sojourner who comes to us in Jesus. And now I ask part B, will we welcome Jesus when he shows up as the stranger and the sojourner? And by welcoming and aiding strangers and sojourners even among us, around us. According to the United Nations High Commission for Refugees, over 60 million strangers have been set loose upon the earth, uprooted by violence from the lands where they grew up, where their ancestors were buried, where they hoped as well to be buried. And they wander either to live elsewhere in their own countries as the IDPs, as Cheryl mentioned, the internally displaced people, or they cross at least one international border just seeking the same things we want, food, shelter, safety. Never since 1945 and the end of the Second World War have so many people been set afoot like Mary and Joseph and Jesus 2,000 years ago. Refugees fleeing Syria are getting all the press lately, not just in the news, but also in this political campaign season. But war is also driving people from their homes in places like Somalia, Yemen, Central African Republic, Afghanistan, Sudan. Some of our ancestors here fled compulsory universal military draft in Germany, France, and Ukraine for reasons of faith and conscience. And now young men are fleeing Eritrea in East Africa for that very same reason. And while our eyes have been fixed on the Middle East, another wave of children, teenagers, many of them orphaned or unaccompanied by any parent, are now coming from Central America again, crossing into the United States. And no, they are not actually sneaking in, most of them. Many of them, most of them, then once they cross the border, go right for the first border agent they can find to surrender themselves immediately to border agents. Because they know that even in these crowded, substandard detention centers where they can live in legal limbo for months or even years, they know they are safer than they were back home in Guatemala or Honduras, where drug lords and warlords have pushed the murder rate in those countries into the stratosphere. And many of these strangers from Eritrea, Central America, and Syria are fellow Christians. But even if they are not, when I stand before the King at the Great White Throne for a review of my life and actions, I don't think I'm going to get anywhere by saying, "But Jesus, when you showed up in your hour of need, I thought you were just a Muslim or a communist, or I was afraid you were a terrorist." I don't want to have to say that. I'm not going to tell Jesus just who he can show up as the stranger or the sojourner. Today's refugee crisis is going to bring big changes for everyone, including ourselves here. Changes in politics, changes in culture, changes in the economy, changes in the church's mission. And we can either fear and lament these looming changes, or we can embrace them for the wonderful opportunities that they present for us to grow and to show the love of God. Welcome the stranger who comes to us as Jesus, and welcome Jesus who comes to us as the stranger, and we will have to face another question. part C in today's message outline. Will we also become strangers? Are we willing to be strangers, even if we don't leave or go anywhere? For welcoming and aiding the stranger and the sojourner can sometimes shake or even break our connections, our familiar relations with our home communities. Take, for example, the social workers, the lawyers, the paralegals who are giving volunteer time or are working with ministries and agencies to help those Central American detainees in their detention centers. Most of them children, in particular one in Arizona, a detention center there. And when the federal government recently relocated people from that detention center in Arizona to Texas, the volunteers and the people in ministry and service went with them there. And the mayor of that town in Arizona issued a statement celebrating their departure. By helping and hosting the stranger, those Americans had also become strangers in their own land. And from what I hear in this campaign season and what I read sometimes in letters to the editors, I suspect that in just a moment we at Zion Mennonite Church are about to do something that might seem a little strange to some neighbors, friends, and family. When we take the offering of what we may have saved or sacrificed or collected over the Advent Christmas season on behalf of the stranger and the sojourner, the stranger and the sojourner who comes as Jesus, the stranger and the sojourner in whom Jesus comes. And this offering will go to them through the Mennonite Central Committee, which is addressing the needs of Syrian and Iraqi refugees who wish to stay closer to their homes, the homes that they've left, they've lost, for which, yes, they carry their keys yet, to help them pay rent, to buy food, to educate their children, to find work or be trained for work in Jordan and Lebanon, where many of them are staying. Because like the vast majority of the world's refugees, they just simply want to go back home someday when it's finally safe. But to me, the most important question is not, where is the stranger? Where is the refugee, the sojourner from Syria or Central America? Is he or she here or closer to home over there? The more important question to me now is, where is the stranger Jesus, the one who was born a refugee in conditions similar to most refugee camps today, who was put on the road for fear of his life, like some 60 plus million people today? Now that I know something of the peace, of the joy, the sweetness of hosting this stranger Jesus in my own heart, what then can I do to welcome him, to host him, to help him, even in his most distressing disguise of the poor, the persecuted, and the stateless? What treasure can I, like those magi from the East, bring to him to help him on his journey? And will we do so? Can I do so, even if that makes us strangers and sojourners in our own home? And if that does seem to make us strangers in our own land, we mustn't be surprised. We should be used to it. As Christians, we seek a city whose founder and builder is God. And as Paul told the Philippian Christians, our citizenship is in heaven, from where we await our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now to complete this message with this second offering for refugee work of MCC for Syrian and Iraqi refugees, I invite the ushers forward again. And please stand here while I pray over this next offering. It is not often that we do two offerings in one Sunday at Zion Mennonite Church. If you're visiting from here, do not worry. Please join with me in prayer. Like the Magi long ago, Lord, we have come to worship you, to welcome, and to serve you in the person of the stranger who comes to us seeking shelter, safety, food, and friends. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to offer back to you a portion of the hospitality that we have received at your hands through your wonderful creation. May our greatest treasure always be what we give back to you. May we treasure most our treasures in heaven. Receive and use this offering like the one given to you in Bethlehem so long ago. May it not be the end of our opportunities to host you, but another beginning. This we pray in the name of the stranger, the sojourner, the Son of Mary. Amen. The service of communion now that begins is also a continuation of our celebration and observance of our solidarity with Christ, with each other, and the worldwide church on this Epiphany Sunday. And we'll prepare again with a moment of prayer and some moments of silence, and then the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Behold your servants here, Lord, and may it be to us, according to your word, even your word of blessing. May each heart and each home represented here know the assurance of your love, shown through Jesus and known through your Holy Spirit. Touch everyone here where we most need it, that there might be light for those who need guidance, and a lightening of burdens for everyone who might feel the weight of sickness, of sorrow, of grief, of guilt, of loneliness or loss this day. Thank you for the joys, the love, the peace, and the plenty with which we might serve you and thank you, for they are all yours to begin with. May it also be to us according to your word of command. Though you are timeless, we are bound to time, and so look to you for the knowledge of your will and the power to do it. Reveal to us, Lord, any relationships that are broken or hurting that need work in this moment of silence as we listen for your Spirit. And reveal to us, Lord, any things we have done to harm others or to hinder the flow of love among us and within us. And speak to us, Lord, of anything we must do to repair any relationships or any ways we must grow and change. May it also be to us according to your word of mercy. May it be to us according to your word of forgiveness. That if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all sin. May it be to us according to your word of assurance. Your blessing, dear Lord, we pray upon the ministries and partnerships of this congregation, especially those which welcome and host you as the sojourner in need, even here in our community, such as our English as Second Language classes, Hope Village, Jubilee Food Pantry, the Canby Center, Habitat for Humanity, Vida Feliz, and the Mennonite Central Committee. And may these not just be ways of charity, but of reconciliation. That reconciliation shown in the sharing of the bread and the cup of communion. Foretaste of that great cosmic reconciliation of heaven and earth for which we pray. as did Jesus in the very words we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite now the elders to come forward with me, to stand with me as we prepare for the service of communion. All baptized believers seeking to live in love and harmony with God and people are welcome to share the bread here, whether you are a member of Zion Mennonite Church or not. There will also be, as a promissory sign for any children who wish to say that, yes, I wish to be a disciple of Jesus, there will be grapes to give out and maybe a prayer or a touch of blessing from David here, right here in the middle as well. We will do it just a little differently. We'll just ask you to start coming up in the rows. Instead of coming up at different times, just come up beginning with the very front to receive the bread. And come down the middle aisle, please, and then go around to the sides. If you cannot come forward for reasons of health or because you're attending to children or the sound system or music or something like that, there will also be two elders, Pat and Ken, will be coming around with bread and cup to you as well. So if they're coming your way, raise your hand to let them know. And we will not conclude this service without everyone sharing the bread who wishes and is able to do so. On the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Whenever you partake of this," he said, "do it in remembrance of me."
In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, remember me."
Again, let's pray. May the sharing of the bread and the cup, dear Lord, be also a symbol and an experience of our sharing in the life of your Spirit in us and among us. May the sharing of the bread and the cup show and strengthen us as foretastes of that kingdom to come, coming in with the wedding feast of the Lamb. In the name of him who is the bread of life to us. Amen.
Please turn to number 307. We will sing the first three verses. Thank you.
thanks for this holy communion, the body and blood of your beloved Son. The body is broken.
Let's pray together. Lord, you are the bread of life. You are the living water that we need, especially now when darkness seems so prevalent. Help your light to shine. Help us to carry that light in places that need healing and hope. And Lord, thank you that you came to be with us. Thank you that you care about our lives, that you know better than we know ourselves. And I ask that in this new year, you would give us a desire to deepen our faith, to deepen our walk with you, so that we can find those opportunities to bring hope, to bring comfort, and to bring your bright light into this hurting world. Thank you for this beautiful ritual that we can share as your body. Thank you for the life that you gave to be a suffering servant, to make a way possible that we could be in relationship with you. We praise you and we thank you together as your people. Amen. We'll have another song.
But before we have that final song, I think one note of explanation. The song that we sang as we began the communion service, "Will You Let Me Be Your Servant," is always a wonderful one to sing for a communion service. But I understand it was requested for a special occasion today. Or was I not supposed to say that? Okay, very good. Somebody's 40th anniversary. Karen and Wendell, congratulations.
Number 478.
Thank you.
People of God, arise and shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Go in peace.